Parables are a fun way to teach. Jesus often uses parables when people stop listening to him. They're earthy, everyday stories, things like seeds and soils and grain and mustard plants. Talk about God's kingdom, his grace, his judgment. Parables require ears to hear, which is another way of saying faith. They invite you to trust in Jesus and act on that trust in Jesus. And this morning we get a couple of kingdom parables for our consideration. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Now the scattering was dealt with in the first parable. Four kinds of soil. The sower sows seed by walking along, reaching into his bag, scattering it all over the place. Some falls on pavement, others along rocks and weeds, and some on good plowed soil. The thing you notice right away is that the sower is pretty casual when it comes to sowing his seed. He doesn't do any soil science. He doesn't send samples off to the lab to see how receptive it is or analyze his yield. He doesn't count his seed or take measurements. He just takes handfuls of unnumbered seed and scatters it all over the place. He doesn't seem to care where it lands. When you realize the seed is the word, Jesus is the word made flesh, the soil is the hearts of men and women, you get the picture of how God operates in his kingdom in the world. He scatters the word all over the place without regard whether it lands on good productive soil or rocks or weeds or hard pavement. The word then does its thing. Can you imagine a church that took this parable seriously? Imagine a church that sowed the word of Christ recklessly, without concern of where it lands. Imagine Christians going into the world to proclaim Jesus in their daily life, not being concerned about who hears it, or if they're ready to hear it, or if they will perhaps respond favorably. Can you imagine what would happen if baptized believers simply started sowing the seed of Christ's word? Then why don't we? I'm sure there's many reasons. Fear is probably number one. Fear of rejection. Fear of ridicule. But truly the chief reason is a fear that we trust the world and these things more than we trust the word to do its thing. We think we have to help the word cultivate the soil, dig and analyze and weed, measure our scattering efficiency, dress it up in a more presentable fashion, trying to make it more fun, perhaps ridding scripture of parts we don't like. But that's not how things work in a parable. The sower sows his seed with a reckless joy. And when his bag is empty, he lets the seed do its work, and it sprouts and grows, and he has no idea how it all works. But he doesn't have to. Our confession speaks similarly of the ministry of the gospel and the sacraments. Through these means, the Holy Spirit works faith when and where it pleases him in those who hear the gospel. How it works, we have no idea. That's all we need to know, though. The word does the work. It never returns empty. It accomplishes the purpose for which God sowed it. The Spirit works faith in the heart of those who hear the gospel. The church's task, our task, is that people hear the gospel to help scatter the seed. You don't need to understand how it works. In fact, you can't understand how it works, but the seed must be sown, and that's all. The rest happens by the Spirit's working. Without any input from the sower, the seedy soil produces grain, the stalk, the head, the kernel, and the harvest. But you're not going to see any harvest if the seed remains in the bag and is not scattered on the soil. Seed left in a bag doesn't accomplish anything. I had some grass seed once that I tried to store. I was patching holes in the parsonage lawn, had some seed left over, put it in a dry and sealed container, left it in a garage. I forgot about it. 2 years later, I came across the container and opened it. Some of the seed tried to sprout in the container. Most of the seed was rotted. There's a layer of mold and smelled horribly. That's what happens when you don't scatter seed into a soil. Molds, goes bad, dies. Most of you experienced that at some point. Various seeds can be stored for some time, but they're meant to be sown. The seed of the word grows and produces fruit in being scattered, preached, proclaimed, and spoken. We most often think of scattering in preaching and when missionaries go out. It's also scattered when you are scattered out from here, beyond the church doors, with seed bags full of ripe, fruitful seed in God's benediction and blessing. It's scattered when you tell someone about the hope that's in you, when you teach another about Jesus, when you lead someone to righteousness, when you point someone to baptism, to the supper of Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. When you say to one another, Jesus died for your sins, for your life, for your freedom. He's won for you ultimate liberty. Freedom from condemnation, freedom from death and hell, from yourself. God's word will do what God sent it to do. We cannot make it work. Tampering with God's word to get it to work the way we want it distorts it, alters it, replaces it. It becomes genetically modified in a negative way that actually produces more weeds and thorns rather than resists them. The word is perfect as it is, because our words have no power to fight the devil, to destroy the evil that rises against us, or to forgive the sin that rises within us. Our words are powerless to prevent the bitter fruit of harm against our neighbor. Our words are just words. God's word is a powerful word, a word that does what it says, has power to destroy, to throw down Satan, to build us up, to plant and give us faith, and then so it does. You all know someone, a close relative, perhaps even a spouse or child or dear friend, who neglects hearing God's word. Perhaps it's even you today, and you just happen to be here. Generally won't come to church, don't want to talk about it. So you pray for them. And praying is good, but praying isn't enough. God doesn't say through our prophet Isaiah in the reading this morning, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return here, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall your prayer be that goes forth from your mouth, and it shall not return void, and it will accomplish what I please. He doesn't say, so shall your prayer be. He says, so shall my word be. Prayer is certainly good. You should pray for them. Pray that God gives them faith and brings it to them. But only praying isn't there. God's word is meant to be given, meant to be spoken. Prayer's great, but the word must finally be spoken. Pray with them, not just for them. Proclaim the word of Christ to them, for you. But that word doesn't seem like very much, does it? It's not impressive, as the world measures impressive things. But don't be fooled. As you all know, seeds are quite small, but they pack quite a punch. The amazing thing about a seed is that there, everything for a plant is already present. When you plant that little seed, you're planting an entire plant. There's nothing more to add. Everything for your salvation, forgiveness, life, freedom, resurrection from the dead is in that tiny word of forgiveness spoken into your ears, that speck of the gospel read from a book, that splash of baptismal water, that tiny piece of bread and that sip of wine that is Christ's body and blood. The seed of the word is planted, sometimes without our knowledge, and it grows all by itself, by the working of the Spirit. What starts out as a small, insignificant planting, a seed dropped into soil, a word of God spoken, grows into something far greater than we could have ever imagined. But first, seeds must die and be buried in order to fulfill their purpose. You need to die too. Every day in your baptism, as that implanted word has its way with you. In our baptism, we've died to sin, to ourself, to all the ways we try to be God. And each day we rise to new life in Jesus. Because dying and rising is the way of a seed. It's the way of Christ and his kingdom. Scattered seeds that grow, that die in order to live. The parable is not terribly hard to understand. The sower scattered seed in the expectation is that some will take root, grow, and bear a harvest. Along the way, some stuff goes wrong. Some snatched by birds. Some is parched and die. Some are choked by weeds. And surely there are threats in the world that prevent every seed from reaching its potential. So there are threats that would prevent every person from going to heaven. Some may hear the word of God, and yet they die and fall away. We certainly need good soil. A soil that's rich and deep and nourishes so that the seed grows. You might think we're insignificant here at St. Peter's on the Arlington Prairie, 100 or so believers gathered on a Sunday morning, less than 1% of the population within 15 miles. I remind you that the seed of the church, the first group of believers, was only slightly larger, about 120. But the word preached through that little church grew over years and decades and centuries and filled the Mediterranean gospel world with the gospel and spreads even here today. So never think for a heartbeat you're too small or you're too insignificant. Don't think you should save a seed for another day. The word is meant to be scattered. Plant it. Even if you doubt its ability to grow, proclaim it. Share the hope that is within you. Remember, it happens one seed at a time. It's happened for you. Planted, watered, and nourished. And it produces and grows. When and where God causes it to take root, where the risen body and blood of Christ is poured into repentant mouths, God creates a harvest 100-fold. Because faith is always a miracle and always a gift. Your bags are full of good, divine seed given by the sower himself. Scatter it fearlessly, recklessly, in the confidence that it will grow and produce all by itself, just as it has in you, by the working of the Holy Spirit. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.